Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
One of the appalling things about systemic racism theory is that in tarring everyone in the oppressor class with the same brush of being a racist, it lets the actual racists among us off the hook.
Well, do you remember where he told the Ten Commandments to be put? They had to go into the ark, right? Into the heart of the ark. And if you stop and think about it, it's like that's a way of picturing to the people. They are from the heart of God himself. And if we are made in the image of God, then they are to be in our heart too.
Congregations begin to expect the preacher to conform to something other than God's word, namely the values and standards that are ubiquitous in a consumeristic culture.
A justifying relationship before God is a yes or no. It's in Christ or not in Christ. There's not sort of halfway in Christ, partly believing. No, that's not it at all. It's either faith or unbelief.
This is Dave from Michigan, and I'm a Lutheran Federal Credit Union member who loves Issues, etc.
Well, for some time now, the U.S. military has been a bit of a test tube or an experiment laid out on a table. Social experimentation is now common in the U.S. military, whether it's the sexual revolution or, as of late, critical race theory. Now, you say critical race theory? White fragility? White privilege training in the U.S. military? Well, sadly, yes. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about critical race theory in the U.S. military. Elaine Donnelly joins us. After that, Rod Dreher, senior editor at the American Conservative and author of his new book, Live Not by Lies, will join us for a conversation on Christian response to soft totalitarianism. Then we will get a take from Mark and Molly Hemingway on the first presidential debate that was held last night. Joining us for a discussion of critical race theory in the U.S. military, Elaine Donnelly. She's founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. She formerly served on the Defense Advisory Committee on Women and the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Armed Forces. Elaine, welcome back.
It's so good to talk with you. That was quite a debate, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. The president actually mentioned the issue we're going to be discussing in the debate. What's your reaction?
Well, we had just posted an article on this on the Federalist webpage, and we talked about the introduction of critical race theory into certain training programs in the armed forces, particularly the military service academies, some army bases. I wrote about a Navy official who wants a promotion. Everybody in the military is looking forward to promotion. And he apparently was not a minority person, but he wanted to qualify under the new woke kind of culture that's being introduced in the military. So he started a book club, and the first choice of books to be studied by the sailors was white fragility. Now, white fragility, for those, this is a new topic, and don't feel bad if you've not heard of it before. It's a relatively new topic, but I think everyone needs to look into it because it's like a flash overnight. In the schools, young people are learning that our country began not in 1776, but with our Declaration of Independence, our U.S. Constitution. It began in 1619 with the first slave ship that arrived on the shores of North America. It's a distortion of history. It's gotten into a program of instruction that says anything to do with whiteness, as it's called, and this is a word I'm not even comfortable saying, but whiteness is the root of all evil, that if you don't acknowledge this, then you are a racist. And the more you do this, particularly in the military, you put everybody on the defensive. It's like trying to prove a negative. There's no way that you can disprove the accusation that was made, that if you don't agree that all institutions have to be dismantled because they reflect white privilege, well, you can see how disruptive this is in any environment, but particularly in the military. In the military, everybody has to have mutual trust. They depend on each other for survival. If they just come out of a critical race theory class and everybody there had to say, I am a racist, and everybody looks at each other differently and everyone's on the defensive, it's so intimidating. How does that strengthen our military? Well, it doesn't. And this president has a way of recognizing problems like this. And the first step in solving a problem is to recognize what it is. And I'm glad that the president has not only talked about it, he took action to eliminate the critical race theory programs from all government programs, including the Department of Defense and the Armed Forces.
Give us some examples of white privilege and critical race theory materials already being used and promoted in the U.S. military.
Well, at an Army base, the Redstone Arsenal in Alabama, the troops received an Army Operation Inclusion handout. It displayed a pyramid-shaped graph listing examples of socially unacceptable, covert white supremacy. And that category included things like this, and I'm quoting, color blindness, denial of racism, support for efficiency and meritocracy. These are considered unacceptable qualities. They have nothing to do with race, but they're all important in Western civilization, and especially so in the military. And we also know that on June 29, a group of recent U.S. Military Academy alumni, West Point, signed a 40-page manifesto demanding that West Point make critical race theory, anti-racism, the central feature of the curriculum. And action items included statements from the all-white academy leaders. They're not all white. In fact, the superintendent happens to be black at West Point. But those who are not minorities are supposed to say that, yes, I am a they have to acknowledge how their white privilege sustains systems of racism, and they're supposed to set up an advisory committee to make sure that everybody complies with this ideology. There is a course that is called Politics, Race, Gender, Sexuality. It's for sociology majors, and it has some mandatory textbook titles, such as Critical Race Theory, an Introduction, Gender, Sexuality, and Social Class, Dimensions of Inequality and Identity, and the third one, Critical Introduction to Queer Theory, whatever that is. So I sent messages to West Point, and I said, now, if this is an examination of books like this, are the cadets also hearing about or reading about Shelby Steele, Thomas Sowell, or Walter Williams, esteemed economists and authors and scholars? And I received absolutely no answer to repeated requests. So I suspect that this course is indeed one-sided. Having visited West Point myself in the past, it really is not a conservative institution. Sometimes they do have speakers who are of a different point of view, but almost constantly you will find speakers who are there representing causes that are by no means conservative.
What concerns do you have about the House version of the National Defense Authorization Act in 2021?
There's been virtually no discussion of this, but the House version mandates what are called goals, gender diversity or racial diversity metrics. Metrics is another word for quotas. And they keep denying there are quotas, but they want the Congress to legislate it. They also want to have chief diversity officers or CDOs in the Pentagon and each branch of the service to make sure that promotions are only given to people who subscribe to the prevailing anti-racist ideology. So this means everybody has to comport and comply or else. It's like groupthink mandated from above. And finally, there is a provision there for an advisory committee, a permanent advisory committee, similar to the one that I served on regarding women in the armed forces. This would be like an in-house lobby, a pressure group that would push the Pentagon even further and further into this kind of ideology. This would be very disruptive to unit cohesion and trust in our military. There's really no place for it, but that's all in the House bill. We also have a problem, though, in the Pentagon, because the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, he wants to establish an advisory committee similar to what is in the House bill in the National Defense Authorization Act for 2021. And we're hoping that the White House will reconsider this. This would be a mistake. What the military needs to do is continue doing what was started back in 1948 when President Harry Truman signed an executive order mandating an end to discrimination, and it's been interpreted to mean recognition of individual merit, meritocracy. Now, I mentioned earlier, meritocracy and critical race theory don't go together. They're opposite. One is critical of the other. But if the Pentagon goes down that road, then it would completely change its culture. And I'm very concerned that the Pentagon needs to rethink this before they depart from the standard that was set by President Harry Truman. And I should tell you that when I served on the commission that studied the issues of women in the military, women in combat in particular, we asked some questions about that executive order. And we learned that the president did it not for reasons of equal opportunity or career advancement. He did it because we needed minority soldiers. We needed them. They had proven themselves in battle. It was a matter of military necessity. And that's why that executive order, which was signed well before the civilian world, was a positive step taken by the military. They don't always succeed in living up to it, but they try as hard as they can, and they need to continue on that road.
Finally, with about a minute or so, does the adoption of critical race theory by the U.S. military do anything to combat real incidents of racism in the ranks?
No, I don't think so, because the structures that are already there for people who face discrimination, there are many support systems that need to be pursued. I have checked the figures with the Department of Defense year after year going back decades. You should know that women in the military are promoted at rates equal to or faster than men. That has not changed. The equal opportunities for women in the military are wide open, more than ever before. And certainly the outreach, that the extension of invitations to minority potential recruits and promotions, the military has done a great deal in this department. Secretary Esper, although I don't agree with his idea of setting up an advisory commission in December, he has taken some good steps. He said, well, we're not even going to put photographs on promotion packages anymore. People will be judged based on their record, not necessarily how they look. Now, there may be some problems with the way this system works out in actual practice. On the other hand, I think it deserves a chance because I think he's trying to do the right thing. So all of this sensitivity, by the way, came about after the very tragic death of George Floyd, which occurred this summer, the pressure on the Pentagon, the controversy about the president walking across the street to the church and the military people who were there with him. All of those issues have been dealt with great intensity this year, but it is no excuse for introducing the idea of critical race theory into our service academies, into the instruction for the armed forces. This is needlessly divisive. This is something we don't need, and it certainly would interfere with unit cohesion. And, well, survival in battle depends on unit cohesion, which is properly defined as mutual trust for survival in battle.
Elaine Donnelly is founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. She formerly served on the Defense Advisory Committee on Women and the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Armed Forces. She's author of a column for The Federalist titled "The Military is Using Racist White Privilege Materials and the Next Funding Bill Would Make It Worse." You can read it and learn more about the Center for Military Readiness at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Elaine, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Nice to talk with you.
Rod Dreher joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking with him about a Christian response to soft totalitarianism. He's written his latest book, Live Not by Lies, A Manual for Christian Dissidents. You could own an on-air light from the old Issues Etc. studio. We're conducting a silent auction. Proceeds go toward the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can place your bid for an on-air studio light by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, September 30th, and the winner on Friday, October 2nd.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, writes St. Paul in his opening salvo to the Galatians. There is indeed no other gospel than that which we taught to you. And that's what the October issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, the gospel proclaimed to you through the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.